Chapter 9, Don't Think in Reverse. Forgive. That slight misdeed of yesterday, why should it mar today? The thing he said, the thing you did, have long since passed away. For yesterday was but a trial, today you will succeed. And from mistakes of yesterday will come some noble deed. Forgive yourself for thoughtlessness, do not condemn the past. For it is gone with its mistakes, their memory cannot last. Forget the failures and misdeed, from such experience rise. Why should you let your head be bowed? Lift up your heart and eyes. Leland Vel van de Wall said, Let us not look back in anger, nor forward in fear, but around us in awareness. Don't think in reverse. You will never obtain any substantial measure of material wealth if you insist upon living your life as if you are looking back through the rearview mirror of your automobile. Nevertheless, this seems to be a very common error, which many people have turned into a pernicious habit. That is to say, many of us spend most of our present moments floundering mentally in the time zone of the dead and should be forgotten past. Let the dead bury the dead. Remember the old adage which says, Let the dead bury the dead? In other words, what you want to do is stop looking back in your life and worrying about things which have already occurred and which you can no longer alter. For pursuing that kind of mental activity will never lead to any worthwhile accomplishment in your life. You should understand, moreover, that all of the great achievers of the past have been visionary figures. They were men and women who projected into the future and did not belabor over things which had already passed. They thought of what could be rather than what already was, and then they moved themselves into action to bring these things into fruition. Think of the magnificent legacy which these forward-thinking individuals have left for us living today. Due to their formidable efforts, we are now able to enjoy breakfast in Paris, lunch in New York, and dinner in Toronto. We are now able to live our lives in brightness and light 24 hours a day if we so desire. We can hear the voice of a loved one on the other side of the ocean merely by pressing some buttons on a telephone. All of these miraculous possibilities and so much more are available to us simply because ordinary human beings like you and me have built extraordinary images on the screen of their minds of things which had never been before. The pioneering spirit of men and women of all faiths, creeds, and color have been put to great use. Those praiseworthy individuals were able to look into the future to see what could be rather than what already was, and then they ignored those who scoffed and said it couldn't be done. Also understand that all great achievers always expect to do great things. And then they turn around and do them. Do not be misled by your sensory factors. We are, each of us, endowed with the same basic mental tools which the Wrights, the Edisons, the Bells possessed. And we all have the God-given ability to employ those tools just as they did. All of us have been blessed with the mental capacity to gaze into the future, to see our lives in a richer and a more satisfying state. Therefore, regardless of the present circumstances in which you find yourself, clearly understand that if you can build the image of something new in your mind, something that far surpasses anything that has occurred up until now, you have the ability to realize that result in the physical world. It could not be more clear that all of us have been born rich in the sense of having a magnificent God-given potential which we owe ourselves to nurture. Just how great is this human potential? Let's check with the experts. Dr. Alexander Rich, professor of biophysics at MIT, has estimated our central nervous system contains from 10 to 100 million cells, each one of which has a storage capacity equal to that of a large computer. If his estimates are even close to being correct, it would imply that the human mind has the capacity to store all of the known information in the world with room to spare. Other specialists in the field of human creativity are similarly convinced that all people have uncharted reservoirs of untapped potential locked up within the confines of their incredible minds. For example, Dr. W. Ross Addy of the Space Biology Laboratory of the Brain Research Institute at UCLA has said that the ultimate creative capacity of your brain may be, for all practical purposes, infinite. One must conclude, therefore, the more a person delves into the potential of the human being, the more that person will become aware of how great he or she truly is. And the more that person becomes aware of his or her own potential, the easier it will be to build images of ideas or things which have never even been contemplated up until the present time. Now pause for just a moment and reflect upon the degree to which you have been utilizing this incredible power to improve the quality of your own life and the lives of those people who surround you. If you know for a fact that you have not been tapping into these great reservoirs of talent and ability, then you should ask yourself very candidly why you have not been. For if you do this, you might just discover that you have been telling yourself for such a long period of time that you can't do certain things that you have actually manufactured a genuine mental block in your own conscious mind. But you should remove these mental blocks by putting yourself into a very relaxed state and by then becoming consciously aware that you can do the things you want to do. You probably just don't know how to go about doing them. If this is the position which you currently find yourself in, then you should start getting excited, for the ideas which are being brought to you in the pages of this book will show you exactly how to go about doing the things you most wish to do. Also, please be advised, you do not need to feel regret because you have not fully utilized this great power in the past. For the truth is, there are few people anywhere who understand the real truth concerning their own hidden resources. That is the very reason why so few people live dynamic, exciting lives, and so many people live confused, unproductive lives. Moreover, just on the basis of what you have read up to this point, you have already far surpassed most other people with respect to your understanding of this important potential. It would appear to be the case that the masses of people have always lived their lives in the past tense. That is to say, by virtue of holding on to old images, they have limited themselves to only half a life. Indeed, even as far back as the turn of the century, William James, 1842 to 1910, one of the world's most distinguished early psychologists, reached the conclusion the average individual was using only a small portion of his or her real potential, perhaps as little as 10%. He considered this to be one of his most important psychological discoveries, and in this connection he wrote, "Most people live, whether physically, intellectually, or morally, in a very restricted circle of their potential being. They make use of a very small portion of their possible consciousness and of their soul's resources in general. Much like a person who out of their whole bodily organism should get into the habit of using and moving only their little finger." One might have expected that in this modern age in which we now live, James's findings would have become anachronistic. But unfortunately, this is just not true. For the sad reality is that most of us are continuing to live our lives in much the same manner as our grandparents did. The reason we do this, you will be interested to know, is that most of us have never been trained to measure our true abilities correctly. Indeed, during the formative years of our lives, we have been inculcated with the belief that our results in school would be the factor determining whether we would win or lose in life. This notion has been fired at us from virtually every conceivable angle, until eventually, most of us have not only come to accept it intellectually, but we have actually become emotionally involved with the idea as well. The result is, the lives of untold numbers of individuals have been needlessly sacrificed on the altar of failure. I feel time has come for us to free ourselves from these mental shackles of the past. Let us therefore begin this healing process by getting in touch with a wide variety of beautiful images which we have the ability to form on the screen of our own minds. Then let us begin to actually expect to receive the physical manifestation of each one of these images in our own lives. Remember, if we are able to see ourselves doing, being, or having something on the screen of our conscious minds, then we are able to do, be, or have it on the physical plane of our life as well. You see, the adage is true. What you see is what you get. Therefore, always look forward into the bright future which lies just ahead of where you currently are situated. Let me make it clear that I am not referring in this context to the things which you can actually see with your physical sense of sight, that is, looking at what was or is. Rather, I am referring to your creative inner eye, which enables you to see what can be. The creative inner eye is that magnificent part of your personality which permits you to see into the vast reaches of the creative, non-physical world. This is the area where all life begins or originates. The past, conversely, is the place where all life ends. But unfortunately, it is also the place where 95% of the people spend 95% of their time, which is sadly also their life. For example, it is an accepted ritual in our culture for old friends to spend hours upon hours reminiscing or harping back on the good old days of yesteryear. Hours upon wasted hours of precious present living time is squandered discussing people who are dead and gone, or reflecting upon things which used to be, but are no more. In fact, there are actually numerous individuals who spend their days collecting things from the past, or antiques, as they are sometimes called. These people collect everything from old matchboxes to antique furniture. Then, there is another large category of people who consume the majority of their waking hours reliving in their minds past negative events which have occurred in their lives. They either spend valuable hours thinking of some past injustice which someone has done to them, or possibly about some unkind remark which someone had once directed in their direction. They bemoan and agonize over past failures or missed opportunities which they somehow let slip through their fingers. Unfortunately for them, these individuals maintain such a negative vibration that there is not even the most remote possibility of a positive thought entering their level of consciousness. Indeed, the only thing this type of thinking will ever create is resentment and or guilt, both deadly emotional states. But until these poor souls come to terms with the fact that it is they themselves who have been the authors of their own misfortune, and until they realize it is up to them to alter the course of their own lives, they are doomed to repeat their past failures over and over again. As long as they persist in believing that others are the cause of their problem, they cannot be successful, because, of course, you can never successfully change anyone but yourself. Therefore, to the extent that these people hold on to their false beliefs, they will continue to think in reverse. And it goes without saying that you cannot move ahead while your mind is traveling in the opposite direction. Take a good look at yourself. Could you be one of the individuals whom I have just portrayed? If you are, I would strongly suggest that you bring your mind to a screeching halt, then reevaluate your present position and reexamine your future goal. Look straight ahead and fill your consciousness with great and grand thoughts of what you ultimately could do and what you eventually can be. Become acutely aware of the direction your mind is traveling, because ultimately, that is the way your life is going to unfold. Polaroid camera analogy. I have often likened the human mind and the material world to a Polaroid camera and a photograph. For once you have snapped a picture, the course for that photograph has been incontrovertibly set. There is a short gestation period which must elapse, but then the photograph must begin to appear, and it will do so exactly as it had originally been shot. To carry our analogy one step further, I would suggest that the shutter of the camera is quite like the conscious mind, in that it is responsible for snapping the picture. Similarly, the camera itself may be likened to the subconscious mind, because it is responsible for doing the work. Finally, the photograph is analogous to your results, as it merely shows the world the physical replica of the picture which you have already taken with your mind. Clearly, if you were to take a picture of the same object over and over again, you would do nothing more than reproduce the same photograph over and over again. Yet this is precisely the course which many people set for their own lives. Therefore, you must constantly be reminding yourself that if you persist in thinking in reverse, you will only reproduce the same results in your life over and over again. If you wish to change this pattern, on the other hand, you must look bravely into the bright future which lies ahead and see yourself already doing what you now only dream about doing someday. Patty's Cruise. Patty Moyer first came to our seminar with her parents when she was only 11 years old. By the age of 15, she was already speaking in the seminar and sharing with the audience the manner in which a concept in the seminar had moved her from failing miserably in French at school to honors grades, and in a relatively short period of time to boot. 5 years later, she was working with me in the seminar business. One day I noticed her attitude seemed to be slipping badly, and it appeared to me that she was not enjoying herself one iota. Note that those are the first telltale symptoms of an individual who is without a goal. So I asked her what it was she really wanted, and her immediate response was, "What do you mean by that?" I explained to her that since she wasn't working towards anything, she didn't have anything to look forward to, and this made life extremely difficult, to say the least. Then she said, "But I don't have any money, so I can't do anything." I reminded her, however, that it doesn't cost even one penny to want or to dream. A radiant smile suddenly came across Patty's face, and she told me that what she wanted more than anything else was to go on a South Sea cruise. I said to her that would probably be a lot of fun. I told her I had done it a number of times myself, and I described to her how beautiful it was. I also expressed my expectation that she would have a truly marvelous time. I pointed out, moreover, that she would retain the memories from that trip for the rest of her life, and she could then relive them over and over again whenever she desired it. At this juncture, I asked her what was holding her back. Again, the same response was forthcoming from Patty. "I don't have any money." This type of negative thinking had been crippling her by preventing her from undertaking something in her life which she felt was very important. But the real reason I bring this story up here is to illustrate that even though Patty was mature, had no ties, and had no real reason not to go on the trip, her own thinking was holding her back from doing so. Clearly, she was a young lady who was thinking in reverse. She had thoroughly convinced herself it was a lack of finances which thwarted her desire. But, of course, that just wasn't the case. Nevertheless, whatever the source of her real frustration may have been, it was certainly holding her back from realizing her dream. Understand that untold numbers of people are making the same error Patty made daily, and it is a great tragedy. Perhaps you have been making this same error in your own life. If you have, I hope Patty's story will be the inspiration you need to get you moving in the direction you wish to go. In any case, one day Patty and I went to lunch together, and we had a very serious discussion. I said, "Listen, Patty, if you really want to go on a cruise, you must quit looking back or looking at what is, because looking at present results is a very common form of thinking in reverse. You must commence to look ahead, and you must start applying what we profess in the seminars. So go ahead and book your trip, make definite plans, and don't give one thought to anything going wrong. Know that whatever you need for your goal to materialize will begin to be attracted to you as soon as you accept the idea that you are going and make definite plans to do so. If it is money that you need, you will have it. It might not all be in place until the very last moment, but if you see it and you believe it and you expect it, you most certainly will receive it. I won't bore you with the details of how things all came together, but I will tell you they came together in wondrous and unexpected ways. Eventually, Patty actually attracted more money than she required for her trip. I was at the airport at approximately 6 a.m. with Patty's parents on the morning that she left, and it was a tremendously gratifying experience for me to see her face aglow with nervous excitement. Suffice it to say, she went on her cruise. She had enough courage to travel alone, and she enjoyed a trip which she will surely remember all the days of her life. But what is even more important than the trip itself is the awareness Patty gained from her experience. For she now knows through her own personal experience that if you think in reverse, you will only see reasons why you can't. However, if you will but look into the future with a positive, even expectant attitude, you will see that you can do. Patty will be able to apply this awareness towards the achievement of all her future wishes. Have you been dreaming of a trip? If you have, go out and book your reservations. It doesn't matter if the reservations are for 6 months or a year from now. Make them immediately, and then enjoy the anticipation which precedes the actual event. I honestly believe that in Patty's particular case, the excitement leading up to her trip was equally as enjoyable and exciting as the actual trip itself, not to mention the enjoyment which she will derive from the memories of her trip, which she will carry with her for the rest of her life. The probable reason that so few people make plans or set goals similar to the one discussed above, is that most people are unable, in their own mind, to figure out how everything necessary will come together. But you must understand, you need not know how everything will come together. All you have to understand is the underlying principle by which your good comes. Namely, everything which you receive in life comes by virtue of the law of attraction. The Paul Hutsey story in Chapter 3 is an excellent example of a conscientious, intelligent, hard-working person who was attempting to do something which was tantamount to a person jumping off the front porch of his home and then expecting somehow to land on the roof. You know that this is never going to happen, yet Paul had spent 20 years. 1. Letting the sales sheet in his office control the image that he held of his operation. And 2, attempting to improve the results he was getting through sheer force of will, dogged determination, and long, hard hours of agonizing toil. Everybody, by doing all of these things, certainly will improve their results to some degree, but they will never witness a dramatic improvement in their results until they have first altered the image which they are holding in their mind's eye. Paul Hutsey is a prime illustration of a person who fully believed he was looking ahead, when in actual fact, he was guilty of thinking almost completely in reverse. For he spent the vast majority of his time consciously focusing on present results, present thoughts, and present images. If you have been guilty of allowing your sales sheets, your bank account, or the x-rays the doctor takes of your body, control the way you feel, think, or view your sales, financial position, or health, I can assure you that just as certain as it's going to get dark tonight, there will not be any marked improvement in your life in any of these areas. On the other hand, however, if you will let the present physical results serve only as an indication of the images which you have been holding in the past, and then proceed, by virtue of your own higher mental faculties, to look into the bright future and to build an image of the good that you desire, just as Paul and Patty did, you will see your image materialize. But again, as long as you continue to let your present or past results control your thinking process, you will never live to see your dreams come true. Therefore, look up, look ahead, and form the image of the life you choose to live. Then everything you touch or come in contact with will grow and expand and express itself in a greater and a greater way. Individuals who are thinking in reverse very rarely, if ever, originate ideas which lead them to providing meaningful service to others. The reason for this is that they are only able to see what someone else has already done. As a result of their limited mindset, the rewards which they will ultimately receive in life are destined to be equally limited. The Select Club. Consider this. I have a very good friend in Toronto who is an excellent example of what right thinking can do for a person. The gentleman's name is Mike Holmes. Approximately 1 year ago, Mike built a new vision in his own mind. He was able to see a group of like-minded people gathering together on a fairly regular basis early in the morning to share creative ideas. He was also able to foresee that these ideas in turn would help the individuals involved develop or grow into the people they were capable of becoming. As a result, on his own time and at his own expense, Mike started an organization which he called the Select Club. The Select Club, in essence, is a nonprofit organization whose membership is made up of ambitious young men and women who are goal-oriented and who want to achieve something of value during their lifetimes. At last count, there were already 50 members registered in the Select Club. These members meet monthly, and at each meeting they are given an opportunity to listen to and ask questions of an excellent speaker who is a recognized authority in his or her chosen field. During the breakfast portion of the meeting, members are encouraged to exchange meaningful ideas with one another. Of course, it is absolutely impossible to qualify the amount of good which comes out of these meetings. But I do know for certain that the 50 members have definitely benefited from the ideas which have been discussed at those monthly meetings. Now, Mike has a vision in his mind which involves starting other chapters of the Select Club in various parts of the city. Clearly, so long as he continues to keep his mind focused in the right direction, the Select Club will continue to grow and expand. But the important point which I want you to notice is, all of this good has arisen as the result of one person choosing to think creatively, rather than allowing himself to get caught up in the vicious cycle, which we have labeled as thinking in reverse. At this point in time, you have very likely never even heard of the Select Club. Nevertheless, the process by which it was developed and by which it will continue to grow and flourish is exactly the same process by which the Kiwanis, the Kinsmen, the Rotary, the Lions, and all the other service clubs have begun. As you know, the aforementioned clubs are now internationally known, and they do a tremendous amount of good work. Yet all of these well-known organizations were started by individuals like Mike Holmes, who were looking off into the future by applying their higher mental faculties. These people saw something that could be, and then they got busy moving their ideas into action, rather than just sitting back and saying, "Wouldn't it be nice if," and then describing their idea to other equally passive people. There is no question that Mike is the big winner in the Select Club, for he has been given the supreme privilege of watching an idea which he had given birth to unfold and grow. In this same context, many years ago, Alfred Adler, the renowned psychologist, coined the extraordinary phrase, "I am grateful to the idea that has used me." There can be no doubt that creative, forward-thinking ideas literally breathe new life into every fiber of your being, for they awaken a part of you that up until that time you may never even have known was sleeping. So why not take one of your own ideas, or brain children as they are sometimes called, and then follow the course Mike followed? Show respect for your own thoughts and ideas, and be prepared to go ahead and act on them. To get back to Mike for a moment, please understand this. Although he will never earn one penny from the efforts he has put into the Select Club, he will be rewarded nevertheless. For as Napoleon Hill pointed out, "I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others." This statement contains one of the most magnificent messages you are ever likely to hear. On the other hand, however, when you are guilty of thinking in reverse, it is as if your life were being lived under a cloud of darkness. Or, to be more prosaic about it, we can say there is absolutely no compensation to be derived from living that way. I know that you want to become the prosperous, happy, healthy individual which this book suggests you can be. So permit me to repeat the following message. Look up, look ahead, and form the image of the life which you choose to live. For once you commence to do this, everything which you touch or come in contact with will grow, expand, and express itself in a greater and a grander way.